What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 26, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki doki, and like the audience, I know that while they're watching on one screen right now and the other, they've got their JPL landing going on for the Insight Probe.
Sure, I mean,
you
got to
have us open live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames.
Sure.
But on the other side, they're watching history be made as
What's
we return to Mars
happening? What's
for the first time in 6 years.
We're going back. We land on Mars today.
Landed on Mars today. Landed on Mars right now. Just deployed the parachute.
Okay.
So far, so good. Last I checked.
Yeah.
Riveted to my laptop. It was like watching the NFL draft. It's like 100 people in front of computers.
Sure.
You can't see any footage except instead of choosing people to run around with a ball, it's us landing on another freaking planet.
How did this one slip by me? I haven't heard. I usually like a good Mars landing. I didn't even hear about this.
No, it's going on right now. It's his first Mars landing. 6 years. We returned to the planet.
Was the last time we did that July 4th that one time?
I don't remember landing last time on July 4th. It's been a while.
Is that when Mohawk guy got famous? Remember Mohawk guy?
I forgot Mohawk guy. I saw that new Tim Gettys haircut.
He claims to be a space fan. Everybody doesn't remember Mohawk guy from the landing.
Definitely a space fan. Greg Miller, welcome back from the Thanksgiving break.
Jared Petty, welcome back from the Thanksgiving break. How are you feeling? How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was good. It was a working holiday.
Of course, as they all are.
And it was a good working holiday. I got to do a lot of fun things, play fun games, make fun stuff. It was really great. Ate some delicious turkey. Didn't cheat on my diet. Can't believe it.
Round of applause there. Jared Petty not cheating on his diet.
What about you? You were telling me about Italian sausage this morning earlier in the office.
That's right. Oh, yeah. My Kevin, you'll like this one.
I'm listening.
My cousin's husband blew my mind at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Made the turkey, made the stuffing, had all the fixings you usually expect. Then also busted out a bunch of Italian sausage, went and grilled them. So turkey's still the main course, but then also as a side dish now, just grilled Italian sausages. It was fantastic.
Big fan of meat with a side of meat,
me too,
my friend.
Me too. That's what it's all about.
Also, there's this place in North Carolina. You've been to Cookout?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you know Cookout, you can go order like the combo. You order like the half-pound burger with chili and slaw on it.
Yeah.
But then the combo sides, like you get two, and the sides are things like you can have a side of a corn dog.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Or a side of a quesadilla.
Yeah.
I mean,
Cookout's insane, and also amazing milkshakes.
Yeah, cheesecake milkshake at Cookout.
I'll tell you what, I had heard about Cookout for years and years and years from one, What's Good Games, is Christine Steimer.
Oh, and I finally gone to Nashville. Yeah.
When I got to Nashville or whatever, and I was walking around drunk off my ass, saw a Cookout, and I was like, well, I got to do this.
What'd you think?
It was amazing.
Yeah, Cookout's
amazing.
Right. And it comes wrapped up in the foil, like big old messy, like grilled, like church dinner burger.
After Thanksgiving, Jen and I went to Poe's house. Hung out with him for a bit. Then we were like, we're really drunk because we were already drunk from Thanksgiving. We're drunk from Poston. We need to go get some food. Wanted to go to McDonald's. Is McDonald's open on Thanksgiving? We're not sure. We went there. They weren't, but the Burger King across the street was. And let me tell you, we crushed Burger King in the back of this Uber, and it was so good.
Onion rings?
No. We were too far gone for that. I wasn't thinking that clearly.
Okay.
Because I was hung up on wanting McDonald's.
Okay.
But then I got there and I got like the double bacon cheeseburger and all this jazz. And
that's some good stuff, though.
Yeah. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. KindaFunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer. And of course, everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight. I'm rusty. So we set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you first and foremost. Thank you to everybody who came to the Portillo's meet and greet in Chicagoland area with me on Saturday. It was amazing. You guys are too much. I got this cool Portillo's sweatshirt.
You did. Right now. And it's another place that features a delicious Italian sausage.
That is 100% correct.
Yeah.
You just nailed it right there. The brand new Kinda Funny Glitch Tee and Side Print Tee are both for sale right now on kindoffunny.com/store, and for today only they are $15. If you've been waiting to buy some Kinda Funny merch, get over there. Also, if you're watching live right now, it's a full day of streaming today. After Kinda Funny Games Daily, we are doing the Cyber Monday stream with our friends over at Amazon Games. It's 1 p.m. Pacific to 4 p.m. You can get it twitch.tv/AmazonGames. We'll host it on Kinda Funny Games, of course. And then also, if you can believe it, because I cannot, the Kinda Funny Game Showcase is 1 week from Saturday. We have 60 games to show you, and we couldn't be more excited. Come see what we've got Saturday, December 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're out and about, follow Kinda Funny Vids on Twitter or catch the showcase later on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames.
I promise to be riveted. Riveted!
I expect you to be. The plan is, we announced this, I think on one of the last live shows or whatever. We're going to do the showcase, obviously, right? That's going to go. It's a video we're putting together to make a polished package. Afterwards, however, after party here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. You are gladly invited to come by.
I didn't know that was going on.
Yeah, we just came up with it before we left.
Oh.
So there you go.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, that's fun.
And then today we're brought to you by 23andMe, Hims, and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Kevin, come out of the gate strong. I want you to keep that the rest of the year, all right? You got that energy, you got that passion, I love it. Four items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's Dozen!
Number one, everybody, hold on to something! The Red Dead Redemption 2 online beta is incoming. It is imminent. Jared, are you excited?
Yeehaw!
That's what I like to hear. I was going to read Matt Burtz's Game Informer story, and I still will, I guess, but since then, literally 1 minute before live, got the full-blown press release
from
Rockstar Games. Yeah. Matt over at Game Informer wrote, though, today Rockstar Games revealed that the Red Dead Online beta rolls out this week. Tomorrow, owners of the Red Dead Redemption 2 Ultimate Edition will be the first to ride into the online servers. Wednesday, anyone who played the game on launch day gets to join the fray. Players who first played the game between October 26th and the 29th can access the beta starting Thursday, and everyone else can join on Friday. So then he goes, what's included in the Red Dead Online out of the gate? Don't expect a fully featured experience like Grand Theft Auto Online, which has continually added new content for half a decade. That said, you can still ride out with a posse of up to 7 players, set up camp, smoke gangs out of their hideouts, enjoy outdoor pursuits like hunting and fishing, or participate in adversarial modes in the beta. Look for more information on the mode tomorrow.
I know that there's nothing the Kinda Funny audience wants more than me talking about Red Dead Redemption 2 again.
People love you talking about Red Dead.
I talk about Red Dead Redemption 2 a lot. I think I talk about it a great deal. So I'm just going to keep it succinct, my friend.
Lay it on me.
I'm stoked.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've looked forward to seeing what they put into this. Ever since I saw some of the options that were laid out in Red Dead Redemption 2 single player campaign.
Sure.
I've grown increasingly excited. Obviously, we have this camp set up, and that leads me to think that effectively we could have some kind of cooperative SimCity camp thing going on, building homes at all, etc. I am so into that Simi Stardew Valley meets cowboys meets the mob like thing. I'm all in on that. Really want to play this. Big surprise there, right? What about you? You like the cooperative online thing. Red Dead single player never grabbed you.
Yes, the Red Dead single player didn't work for me. I do hold out hope that, Red Dead Online could be the one that really brings me back in.
Yeah.
In just the way of, I want to play with my friends.
We should play together. I'm playing tomorrow.
Yeah, so. 100%. Oh, totally. I got to jump in right away and see what's up.
Yeah.
Let me read a little bit from the official release. It looks like Matt had this just before I ever had it emailed. Built from the ground up for the latest hardware, Red Dead Online blends the classic multiplayer of the original Red Dead Redemption with the best of everything we have learned since then about creating deep multiplayer experiences. The result is something completely new and fun, and an experience that will continue to expand and evolve over time. With the gameplay of Red Dead Redemption 2 as its foundation, Red Dead Online transforms the vast and deeply detailed landscapes, cities, towns, and habitats of Red Dead Redemption 2 into a new living online world ready to be shared by multiple players. Create and customize your character, tailor your abilities to suit your playstyle, and head out into a new frontier full of things to experience. Similar to what Matt wrote here, explore the world solo or with friends. Form or join a posse to ride up to 7 players, gather around the fire at your camp, head out hunting or fishing, visit bustling towns, battle enemy gangs and attack their hideouts, hunt for treasure, take on missions, and interact with familiar characters from across the 5 states, or fight against other outlaws in both spontaneous skirmishes and pitched side piece battles, complete with other players or whole posses in open world challenges and much more.
Yeah, sounds fun to me.
It does. It sounds really interesting. They talk a little bit about the beta then from there on, what we already talked about. But during this process, we will be looking to our dedicated community to help us report and fix problems, share ideas, and assist in shaping the future of the full online experience. As with all our releases, we will strive to make the launch of Red Dead Online the best it can possibly be, and we ask the community to share that spirit with us over the next weeks and months. The one thing I see here that we didn't have in the Matt Game Informer article, to help us ease the beta migrate issues, we will begin early access on Tuesday, November 27th at 8:30 Eastern. So that's 5:30 our time tomorrow.
In you'll the be morning? Able to
play. Yeah, exactly.
Good Lord. I wonder if I should be up.
You should be probably. You should be streaming it. Yeehaw.
Oh, man. Yeehaw. Yeah, exactly. That does sound it. 5:30 a.m. stream.
Yeah. Get your little campfire, your little pot of coffee on there.
I'm filming a pilot tonight, so like wrap that's going to be a late
don't
night.
Even sleep. Get don't up even editing. Sleep. Don't just, even sleep. Why would you sleep? Don't sleep. This is
again, that's assuming I'm in there and able to get in the rest. But yeah, I'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah, I'm very, very interested to see what it looks like tomorrow and what the reaction is to it and how much they have it launched and where it's all going to go. But if it's a cool online world and a cool online experience, I think that would save it for me. Not save it. That's a bad way to say it. You know, what repelled me about Red Dead was just not liking Arthur, right?
Yeah.
If I get to come in and make my own character and do my own thing and to kind of tell my own story, I don't see why I wouldn't want to be.
Are you
going
to go
that.
Back to trying to look like Greg, or are you going back to Taylor Swift?
That's a great question. Let's see how detailed the options are. Okay. You know what I mean? Fallout 76, that was the thing. Uh-huh. I got in there and I was like, ooh, you can make these really detailed. Yeah. I tried to make somebody look like Greg, and then it was the horrific realization that all people who are white guys with black rim glasses and beards and haircuts similar to me look like everybody else.
So you're saying everyone that works at Kinda Funny?
Dude, it was widespread when I put up images of that where people are like, why did you make Bernie? Why did you make Colin? Why did you make Marty? Why? Yeah. And the list just went on of video game like, personalities. You're like, huh? Why did you make Carboni? Why did you make? And I'm like, huh?
Are you saying that there are a lot of bearded white men in the video game
media? I'll tell you
industry?
What, it's something a lot of people aren't reporting on or talking about, but it looks like there is. It looks like there is, Jared. But I mean, I digress. Kevin, I need you to get out there and find out more information on that, all right?
Yeah.
All
right.
Thank you. Number two on the Roper Report, let's stick with Rockstar. Rockstar abandons its agent trademark. This is from Tom Phillips, I apologize, over at Eurogamer. More than a decade after its initial announcement as an upcoming PlayStation 3 exclusive, Rockstar's stealth action game Agent appears to have finally been laid to rest. Agent has been vaporware for years, but Rockstar has now let the game's trademark go, a sign the publisher no longer has any intention of using the brand in the future. As of November 19th, because he's you know, Eurogamer, yeah. You know how they are. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office entry for Agent listed as, quote, abandoned because no statement or of use or extension request was timely filed after notice of allowance was issued, end quote. It is absolutely no surprise, says Tom.
Hear that, Eurogamer? The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. USA! 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 That's right, U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
What a surprise, right?
Yeah, Agent is one of those, I'm a fan of Rockstar stuff, but Agent is one of those things that I occasionally conflated in my head with Hitman. I was just oh, wait, yeah, there's a thing about shooting and spies and stuff, and I do love...
We never really knew what it was, right?
Yeah, it's got a great name, and obviously Rockstar, like, going in with both feet into the James Bondosphere.
Yeah.
I think about things like, was it Obsidian that did Alpha Protocol? It's kind of like flawed, but ambitious. Hey, maybe. Let's make a spy RPG thing. I do think that is a genre that is still underexplored. I mean, Hitman's about taking a target out. It's about doing one very focused thing. But just a general like spycraft game in the AAA space that's really, really well handled.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's something right now that's glaring and looking me right in the face, but I can't think of anything.
Of
Watch
good
Dogs
spy
has
games.
Some elements of that, and... But something that just like really captures that feel of being a secret
James
agent.
Bond.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And James Bond maybe without the gross end of James Bond. Sure. Or maybe even I like the option to go in and be violent. I guess Deus Ex might be the closest in a way, but that's got a cyberpunk edge.
I hear you, but yeah, I don't think so.
But I think a game like that could really thrive. But Rockstar has been pretty clear that they were all hands on deck for this. And
well, I think it was just read the tea leaves kind of thing. Yeah. Tom calling it vaporware is the perfect description of it, right? I will never forget Jack Trenton talking about that at that PlayStation press conference. We're excited to have this exclusive for PlayStation from Rockstar. You're like, oh my gosh. And then that was PS3 era, right? We never heard about it again because, yeah, it was just that, an idea they had together. But then GTA starts really cooking in a different way. Red Dead really cooks in a different way. Rockstar becomes a different company. PlayStation becomes a different company. Not to mention, you know, that deal, I'm sure, was brokered between a very different PlayStation, a very different Rockstar than it was back in the day.
You and I have seen and played games that never came to be.
Correct.
That just happens sometimes. People put years of work into things and they don't happen. And
Warriors Lair on Vita should have come out. It would have been awesome.
Man.
Would have been awesome.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. indeed. Number three, in case you missed it, because I did, there's been a whole bunch of Super Smash Brothers Ultimate leaks. We're going to read from U.S. gamers Nadia Oxford. We're less than a fortnight away from the highly anticipated release of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate for the Nintendo Switch. You're probably excited, and if you want to stay that way, you should make an effort to avoid the massive Smash Ultimate spoilers data miners spewed all over the internet, particularly YouTube, this weekend. Human beings, they're terrible. Human beings, they're terrible. Trademark. It's not clear how pirates got their hands on a copy of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate this early. Signs point to at least one leaked game. Card. Oh, it's I wrote on the back the four, so it looks like it's an O. Sorry.
Oh, Caro. Game Caro.
I was like, what? Game Caro. Yes, coming from Mexico.
Game Caros.
Hello, I would like a Game Caro. But data miners didn't take the time to look a gift cartridge in its connectors. Videos of spoiler-heavy content, including the ending of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate's single-player Spirits Mode, also known as World of Light, quickly arose on YouTube. Rest assured, Nintendo's hard at work scrubbing spoilers as they pop up, but information moves at viral speed on the internet, as we all unfortunately know by now. Other shared Super Smash Bros. Ultimate leaks include tons of Mii costumes, hours of music, yet unannounced game modes, and a lot more. Motherboard reached out to the Switch pirating community over the leaks, which it is divided over the acquisition and distribution of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Quote, as far as pirated Switch games go, this is the biggest ever. JJB, the admin of the popular Where's NX Switch piracy community, tells Motherboard.
That's a lot of words right there.
It is, yeah. The leak seemingly originated on the Where's NX Discord server, which prompted JJB to ban low-level users from the server.
Remember, that was the NX Switch. Nintendo Remember that? NX.
Yeah, it was going right. to be. Quote, point of doing it was, I did not agree with Smash leaking as early as it did, JJB says. So I decided to remove the easiest source, being the server. If you pirate Smash, Marth will visit your dreams and give you this look all night.
And the look is this.
It's not a happy look. Yep. If Nintendo's weekend crusade to shut down Super Smash Bros. Ultimate spoilers is any indication, it's clearly having kittens over the game's leak, distribution, and spoiler posts. A year ago, a review copy of Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga was similarly dumped on the internet, which prompted Nintendo to get much tougher about distributing review materials. If November freaked slightly over the leak of a second-tier Nintendo 3DS title, a remake at that, we can only imagine the tsunami-sized aftershocks the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate leak will trigger.
So I got two takeaways from this. Just the public service announcement warning. It's out there.
Stop reading the comments if you care about the thing, even though...
Yeah, shield your eyes, folks. Don't click on that link unless you want to know what happens. I mean, if you want to see the spoilers, fine. Some people love spoilers. But you ought to know what's out there. Second is that last paragraph. Somebody leaked a big old Nintendo game.
Yeah.
And what that means for coverage could be problematic. Nintendo hasn't commented one way or another to us that I'm aware of yet, but companies are very protective of their IP, and Nintendo more than most.
Yeah.
And what we do, trying to give you a kind of a part of our job that I'm not sure people outside of this room really always understand, is that we are very much trying to be gatekeepers of a curated preview experience. We're trying to give you enough to make you happy and not so much that we ruin anything.
Sure.
And to do that, we often do some of our own buffering. We'll be provided an amount of information, and then we will discreetly decide how much of that to pass along.
Sometimes, and frequently, they're the gatekeepers, right? Hey, you've played this much, but you are embargoed from saying these three things.
Yes, they'll embargo. But then we will very often go further on that. Be like, oh, spoilers here, time it out, of course. Yes, we always have a lot of restrictions, and especially from places like Nintendo. But the more information control a company at an executive level feels obliged to exercise, the harder it is for us to do our jobs.
Sure.
And from a very selfish perspective, this worries me on that, because I really like what I do. I think I'm decent at that kind of drip process of getting excited with the community in sincerity. Oh, sure. Yeah. And you're best in the world at it. I hope this doesn't lead to us seeing less from a company that has a tendency to double down on being reticent when
the problem with this is just, it's the realization and the fact of the matter that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
In this day and age, it does. And like, you know, it doesn't sound like review, like this is, it doesn't sound, at least how it reads, like the Mario and Luigi leak where that was a review thing. This sounds like somebody just got their hands on a copy early. Like, yeah. Not even a reviewer or anything like that leaked it out. Right. Like any big game that comes out, you see it all the time on all the subreddits. You know what I mean? Like, if you follow those games or whatever, or gaming even so. But I remember Spider-Man, where it was, you know, a week before Spider-Man on PS4, and there they were wrapped up in the back of a Walmart and like, do not sell. And like, someone somewhere is going to screw that up. Someone somewhere is going to get that copy. Someone somewhere is going to do all these different things. And that's why it is. I had heard rumors that Nintendo might be not tougher with review embargoes, but maybe wait even longer with Smash mm-hmm. before releasing it to everybody else, and probably do in some way avoid things like this.
Yeah,
but it's just you can't. You know what I mean? That was the thing when we started doing the Kinda Funny Game Showcase, which is a way smaller deal than Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. There was that conversation of just like, what are we gonna do when things leak? Mm-hmm. What do we? And the answer was simple. Well, nobody cares. You know what I mean? Like, what do we? I mean, it's going to happen. There's no way to stop it.
It's going to happen. Nobody stop it. That doesn't stop it from being the terror of a corporation. I worked at so this is a matter of public record. I can actually talk about this part. I worked at a major publisher through multiple leaks of material, things that leaked before they were intended to. And let me tell you what, that's taken extraordinarily seriously. When it happens and causes definite conversations and reactions that end up ultimately being public facing that are serious and not, it's not as simple as these things are going to happen from the perspective of everybody on the other side.
100%. And I don't get me wrong. I understand wanting to lock it down. But when we get to the point that this isn't for me, what you're talking about, right? With, hey, this pre-release game information is leaking in terms of like way before a marketing beat, or hey, we're about to announce The Last of Us. Don't be like, I always talk about Naughty Dog walked around or made a statement, right? Of like, don't be the guy. Don't be the person that screws this up for everybody. This is, all right, cool. We're releasing the baby from the nest.
Yeah.
Like, it's out there in some respect. It's being printed. It's like, these things are going to happen. Nintendo's handling it the way I would handle it, right? And I think fans are too. For me, and this is, again, I get to be a non, like, I don't get me wrong. I love Smash Brothers. But for me, Smash Brothers is on the 8th after the showcase playing. Yeah. It is us getting the copies and gathering on the TV. Me personally, like, if somebody shouts out in the end, like, oh man, at the end, you know, Mario takes off his mask and it's really dry bones, I'll be happy. And I wouldn't care. Like, I understand. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah, though. It's just, you got to remember that at Nintendo, at every publisher somewhere, there's a group of people whose job is information control.
Oh, of course. And they work very hard at it. Yeah. Brand, marketing. I understand this and where they want it to be.
And when somebody takes control out of their hands, it's frustrating, embarrassing for them, upsets their plans, causes major changes. And that's the part that could be very influential in how companies move forward on things.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Tim Geddes, what are you up to?
Don't mind.
I'm not minding you.
I love this.
You getting ready for the Amazon stream? Are you doing some Amazon stream stuff?
Lord,
I couldn't tell if he was coming in to say something about Smash, but then also going for Amazon stuff, but he's doing stuff.
I'm really tempted. I don't know. I just want to tickle him.
Don't do it. He hates being touched. And not only that, and then his head would slam up into the bottom of the table.
That would be real. What if we knocked him out right before the Amazon stream?
I would just go home. It's over. Number 4 on the Roper Report. Is Skyward Sword headed for Switch? This is also from Tom Phillips at Eurogamer. The Legend of Zelda fans are excitedly discussing the prospect of a Skyward Sword port for Switch.
Are they?
Last night, Zelda aficionados reported a possible tease of the project from series boss Anuma, who appeared on stage at a Zelda music concert in Osaka, Japan. Nintendo is yet to comment on the reports, but a much shared post on social media network Weibo quotes Anuma as saying, quote, I know what you're all thinking, Skyward Sword for Switch, right? To which fans responded with applause.
Following up the best Legend of Zelda game for a console with the worst Legend of Zelda game for a console.
Don't do this now.
Actually, I'd like to see Skyward Sword rescued.
Really?
Yes, because Skyward Sword is locked into the Wiisphere, along with a lot of other things. There are a number of games that were built around the Wii's unique motion controls that are about to be lost forever. If there is not a real expensive effort put in to adapt and change their control schemes, these games are going to be lost. For example, think about a game like Mario Galaxy. Mario Galaxy can't be played without a Wii Remote in its current form. Now, there is no, at this point, Wii Remote compatibility with Switch. Therefore, Mario Galaxy, unless there is a real remake that actually takes those controls into consideration and effectively rebuilds a lot of Mario Galaxy from the ground up, that game's going to be lost forever. It's one of the best 3D platformers in the history of the medium.
Fair.
All right, there's a lot of those on Wii that are vanishing. The main way that you can justify saving those, paying the extensive amount of money necessary to retool them completely for proper tuned control, is a re-release.
Okay.
You re-release Skyward Sword on Switch, you save Skyward Sword for future posterity.
Why do we need to? Why do we need to save Skyward Sword?
Even a bad Zelda game is still a really good game. I mean, you know, Minish Cap's really good. it's still Minish Cap. It's still flagship, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. Oracle of Seasons is great. Oracle of Ages is pretty good. I'd love to see Oracle of Ages continue to get saved online. And Skyward Sword the same way. Plus, maybe they could fix it a little bit.
Yes, if they're going to fix Skyward Sword, sure.
Yeah, that would
trim be off a few dozen hours.
There's a lot of good ideas mm-hmm. in Skyward Sword worth saving, but most of it for me, I think, is the history thing. The fact
look
that
forward,
this game
Nintendo,
lost.
Not backward. No one needs Skyward Sword. An embarrassment. Am I right, Kevin?
Yeah. Embarrassing. Shame on you,
Jared.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to wait and see if this Skyward Sword rumor is real. While we do, if I wanted something more pertinent, like, say, what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
I'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the kind of funny games daily
we're
show host.
We got that new new podcast smell again.
I'm Rusty Shackleford.
I love that stink.
Yeah.
King of the Hill back on Hulu. I've had that Rusty Shackleford stuck in my head.
Yeah?
Oh, my gosh.
I like King of the Hill. Didn't love it. Liked it.
It's so good. It's
that boy ain't right.
It's prophetic.
Like, out today, Truck Simulation 19 is on phones and iPads and Androids and whatnots. New dates for you. Slime Song Creator is coming to Steam in early December. And yes, they will be part of the Kinda Funny Games showcase on December 8th. I was very relieved to see them put it in their press release. Not as happy to see them call it Kinda Funny Games Daily. They were like, right, messaging was wrong on that one. My bad.
You take what you get.
Hey, man, we're trying. Serial Cleaner gets an early... Serial Cleaner is coming out on November 29th on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, Android, iOS, and streaming platform Mixer, and other things, apparently.
The Atari 7800.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Kirby Star Allies, Another Dimension, is coming November 30th. Deals of the day. I have one from Nintendo themselves. You can get a Cyber Monday Nintendo Switch deal that reads like this. Shoppers that missed out on Nintendo's Black Friday offers this past weekend have another opportunity to enjoy a great deal. To kick off Cyber Monday, Nintendo announced that anyone who purchases a select Nintendo Switch system online on November 26th and November 26th only at participating retailers will also receive a $35 credit to use in the Nintendo eShop. The promotion kicks off at 12:01 a.m. Pacific on November 26th and ends at 11:59 p.m. Pacific the same day while supplies last.
Exciting. Speaking of deals of the day, aren't you going to have some other deals a little later this day?
Amazon stream. But if you're listening or watching later, go watch it on Amazon Games' Twitch archive, I guess.
Okay.
We're going to have some fun.
All right.
Time for reader mail, but first, I'll tell you it's brought to you by three sponsors. First, let's start with 23andMe. Now through December 25th, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your DNA. 23andMe Health Plus Ancestry Service includes 90 plus personalized genetic reports that offer DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do. You simply spit into a tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks receive your personalized online reports. How do I know so much about it, ladies and gentlemen? I did it. That's right, Kevin. Applaud. I did it. I did my own 23andMe. Jen was very impressed that I did it, and I looked at the results when they came in. Guess what? I am shockingly white.
No.
52.5% British and Irish, 17.2% French and German, and it goes on and so forth through Europe. All sorts of other Europe percentages being put in there.
Any surprises back there?
Not there. Okay. I did really like they go through and like your health breakdown of like things to look out for. I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
Do you not know how you're going to die?
No, they don't do that. And okay. Of course, it's not like that. It's not okay. Like we're getting right. The, you know, weird science out of it.
All right.
It was that. It was also, I got to go look at, there's, you know, it paired me with a little over 1,000 people who shared very common DNA. Mm. And so that they could be, I had one that could be as close as a second cousin. And then some that were like out to fifth cousins. It was really neat. I liked that a lot. Of course, it's you go in there. It's from 150 plus regions. You can go in there and hear about like, maybe that's why you have that weird cilantro thing. Where cilantro tastes like soap to you.
Yeah,
they can find that for you. Anyways, though, now through December 25th, you get 30% off a 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andme.com/games. That is the number 23andme.com/games. Again, that's 23andme.com/games. Then it's Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35.
I feel your pain.
And once you notice, it's too late. So start keeping the hair you have and then replacing what you've lost with 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. You get well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. And there's no waiting room.
Only I'd known.
It's okay, Jared. One day. How do we know so much about it? On the other side of the room, Nick Scarpino and Andy are both doing it. They took photos of their hair, sent it in to 4hims.com, talked to a doctor. He recommended what they need. Then Andy keeps getting the gummies, and Nick keeps stealing them, making Andy very angry. Make someone angry in your office. Order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Final sponsor, Quip. And this is, they gave me a holiday themed ad, and I'm very into it. There's a buzzy gift on everyone's list this year.
Ooh.
It's something they'll use twice a day. It was featured on Oprah's O List, and it's perfect for everyone with a mouth.
There we go.
They nailed it. They understand what they're doing. This
that's
is right. it.
That's some good ad copy right there. Right? I can appreciate that.
It's Quip, of course, an electric toothbrush designed to make brushing better. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even enjoyable. And Quip makes holiday travels clean and easy with a multi-use cover that mounts to mirrors and unmounts to slide over the bristles for on-the-go brushing. It doesn't require a clunky charger and runs for 3 months on one charge. I appreciate them sending in this copy because I didn't think about it. It is a cool gift.
Yeah.
It is a cool gift to give somebody this toothbrush.
It's an excellent gift.
Nick loves his. I think I might give it to Jen.
Yeah, you're going
to
give her a toothbrush?
Because they even go further, right? This is the gift that keeps on refreshing with brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And you can even gift prepaid refills for a year to make sure that you're never using old, worn-out, ineffective bristles.
I tell you, that is some Don Draper copy right there.
They know what they're up to, man.
Got some innuendo going on.
Quip looks like a big-ticket tech gift with a stocking stuffer price starting at just $25.
That's a good deal.
If you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. But you don't have to tell that to your Giphy. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games.
Oh, I love that game.
Thank you.
Echo going on there?
I want to see what we got here. I want to get some good stuff going. Right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you doing Jared singing songs, having good times, making shows?
I think, were you doing the Tailspin intro?
No, I don't know Tailspin.
Oh, yeah. No?
No. I mean, I've watched it, but I don't know it like where I could tell you the
that
intro.
That show had a weird aesthetic. It's like 1930s Humphrey Bogart aesthetic.
Sure.
It's like Seaplanes meets Air Pirates meets
Chip and Dale were on it or no?
No, they were not on it. They were part of the Disney Afternoon block.
Okay.
Together. Also, like,
they were the Rescue Rangers.
They were the Rescue Rangers. And then also you had Darkwing Duck. You had Goof Troop at the various times. Of course, you had DuckTales came into that. You had Tailspin.
The Almighty Foofy writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Seasons greetings, KFGD host." I don't think he said it that way, but that's what we're going to say.
Seasons
greetings. I hope your Thanksgiving break was full of great food and great times with loved ones. I have a question for you guys that own PlayStation VR. I picked up one over the Thanksgiving holiday, and I love it a lot. Really can't wait to try out Zone of the Enders 2 and Ace Combat 7 in VR. But I have a concern. I wear glasses, and I heard that PSVR is comfortable enough to wear with glasses, but I am worried that my glasses might leave scratches on the lens. How do you guys deal with that? Did you buy any third-party buffers or lens covers, or am I overreacting to this? Thanks, and keep up what you guys are doing.
No, I did not buy third-party buffers.
Yeah.
I just stick them on my head because I treat most of my electronics like crap and beat them up horribly. I'm pretty rough on equipment. So I have not noticed any scratches.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there won't be any. Just getting a PSVR on my truly enormous melon is stress enough. I figure anything
but it happens,
else
right?
is. Yeah.
Absolutely. It works.
Yeah. It works.
Yeah. During demos and stuff, when we were first trying out PlayStation VR, I would wear my glasses with it and found that I had enough room between the glasses and the lens where I wasn't bumping into it. If you just tighten and move it around enough. So I can't speak to my prescription's so weak that I actually take my glasses off when I play stuff now.
Yeah. Unfortunately, so I don't have that option.
Right.
Mine.
I did when we first got it and we're transferring it back and forth between, or I guess not first, but maybe when we moved here, but back and forth between the office a lot. I did at some point, like a cable spun out and did ding my lens on the inside. But I found that you have to I don't notice it ever. Like, you have to be looking for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like that thing. So I don't even know how much your lenses rubbing up against the other lenses would matter. Yeah. But I do want people to write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD if you have information about this, if you've scratched yours, if you use some kind of lens buffer so we can help out Floofy here.
They do give you a pretty liberal Floofy. Distance inside.
I love that headset, man. I was wearing it today. I told you beforehand, right? Beat Saber dropped on Monday, or we got our codes for it last Monday.
Yeah.
I got to play it Monday night, and then Tuesday played a lot of Assassin's Creed. Then I went to Chicago. And while I was gone, I missed Beat Saber so much, and Assassin's Creed for that matter, but so much that when I was getting back, I saw Justin Massengill Justin from the PlayStation blog.
I'm really impressed here that you're picking up this pen while holding the mic while talking.
Jared, I'm a true professional.
You really
There's an episode of the Game Over Greggy show where I'm interviewing Roger Craig Smith, I believe, and I knock a full glass of water, a giant Shakespeare's cup, into my lap and don't miss a beat.
Don't miss a beat.
And he stops because he's like, I can't believe you just did this, but you're still talking.
I think it's because you don't feel anything. You've just killed all the nerve endings in your body.
True. Right. Justin was talking about how, man, he wears one of them crazy Apple Watches and tracks his heart rate and all this stuff. And he was like, I'm going to start doing this as a workout. And I was like, I was actually thinking about doing this, trying every morning. Because what had happened is I had gotten it on Monday night.
Yeah.
But for, you know, time-wise, if you want to run that back, I'd come back from L.A. and woken up at 4 in the morning that day.
Yeah.
So I came home thinking I was going to crash out early. Instead, played Beat Saber and did have that endorphin, like, man, I'm awake now, and I stayed up a lot longer. And I was like, this would be a great way to start my day. Started my day that way today. I feel great.
Are you sculpting your guns with Beat Saber?
I wouldn't go that far, but I'm really enjoying it and sweating a lot in the headset.
Okay, there you go. Oh, I was thinking about, I never thought about headset funk.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
It's real.
I'm going to have to reach out to Job Stauffer. You know Job, right?
Yeah.
Job is doing that thing that he's doing VR, his new VR company, which name escapes me right now. Do you remember it?
No, I don't.
Kevin, find Job Stauffer on Twitter so we can give his company a shout out. Job? But it's all about like
health and VR.
He's the guy who's been written up in all sorts of places because he had lost so much weight when he was still working at Telltale from doing VR workouts.
He's become kind of an evangelist.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I'm going to have to hit him up to see how he keeps his headset clean and disinfects it and doesn't do that because I don't want it to smell like I've been working out in this thing every morning, or I'll have to get two headsets, and that seems like a lot of work.
I met Job Stauffer at a Goonies fan convention in Oregon.
Yeah, he's a huge Goonies fan. So are you. Yeah, I remember
that's how I
Astoria,
how I
right?
Astoria.
Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah. He's a good man. Kevin, when you get that for me, let me know. Let's go to the next one. And this pairs up with two questions, all right? So we're going into a Fallout 76 rock block of questions. We're going to start with Sonarith. And then hold on, Orpheus, that's it. Job Stauffer is the co-founder and CCO of Orpheus, Orpheus_SCE, if you want. Basically, the idea, I think, is this like relaxing games using VR that'll also help your mind, body, and soul kind of thing. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Sonarith writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, my question is about Fallout 76 in reviews. The reviews have been coming in and they're not great. But I've been having a lot of fun with the game. The reviews I've read seem to agree that the game is enjoyable, but the technical issues are unforgivable and are dragging down any potential review scores. My question is this. Do you think Fallout 76 should be re-reviewed if/when the bugs and crashes are fixed? I only ask because of IGN's review of Prey, where a save deleting bug earned the game a 4 out of 10, but the score was revised when the bug was fixed. Personally, I think there's a great game under the bugs and would absolutely want to see review scores updated if they ever fix enough of the bugs to reflect that. But I would love to hear your thoughts. Keep up with all the great work you do and good luck on the Kinda Funny Showcase.
I mean, I think that when the resources are available to go back and give a game another shake in this age of live service, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
This is a two-part thing for me. I mean, on one side, there's the, hey, by the way, you shipped a game that didn't work, which does happen. I reviewed a game once that was just had a game-breaking bug in it.
And
I had to give it a fairly... No, that was not the game. But I had to give it a fairly low score, largely on the merit of that. And then I think, of course you want to go back when something works better and take another look at it again. I think that's always worth doing. The question, of course, then becomes, how do you allocate the human resources to the review when new games are coming and that one has fallen by the wayside? But from a purely critical perspective, let's pretend that human resources are not a problem.
Infinite.
Yes, of course, I want that to happen. I think most people do as well, because we always, in this industry, guess what? We're enthusiasts. We want to tell you about good games. When games get good, we want you to know about it. So
I think we've moved, especially in 2018, heading into 2019 right here, people in the audience and the eyeballs that would be looking for Fallout 76 information a year from now, 2 years from now, I think understand the difference in launching a game and what the review is going to look like and not. And I'm drawn to No Man's Sky and their big update. Yep. I'm drawn to Destiny 2 and Forsaken, right?
Division,
right? And these updates can be big enough and have their own subtitle to the point that people understand that's what deserves a re-review. Yeah. I fully expect Fallout 76 to get better and fix the problems as it goes, but I don't think every time they put out a 46 gigabyte patch for some goddamn reason that you're going to jump in there and see a review of that, or the main review should be updated to reflect that. I think Prey is an interesting example, but the problem with that example is Prey's save bug was so specific. Mm-hmm. They had a bug that screwed everything up and broke the game, and we couldn't play it, right?
Yeah.
Fallout's is, well, for me, this is literally, for me right now, me and Grimecraft were playing last night and had the same bug I had with Scott Lowe, where he couldn't join my team, and he couldn't invite me to his team, and I couldn't join his team. Well, that sucked. But then there's a million other things very similar to that, of crashes, enemies not responding, blah, 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 that I don't think you're going to see in one foul swoop fix that would make sense of, all right, cool, here's the big patch.
Also, I think specifically speaking about Fallout 76, based on the reviews I've read, it hasn't just been the technical issues that are earning it the score.
Sure.
There's also some general dissatisfaction with the gameplay flow.
Sure.
And again, that's something you can improve. So yeah, I fully expect a re-review in a year or two, probably, like you said, with a named content drop.
Right. Following up, though, on this Fallout 76 rock block, Ringy SFC writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, with people talking about Fallout 76 being disappointing and people saying it will develop a la No Man's Sky, I was wondering, do people think it's acceptable to pay AAA prices and have to wait 12 plus months to get the experience you want? I understand the whole living, breathing, developing world a lot of games, that's what he says, have going on at the moment, and that has a lot of positives to it, but has this become an excuse for games to be released unfinished slash really buggy when they shouldn't be? Thanks very much. Love you guys.
For me, no. Yeah. I canceled my Fallout 76 pre-order months ago when I began getting a better idea what the game actually was.
Sure.
And no, it's not worth it for me. Not in a world where I can go out and I'll use a recent example. I could grab Red Dead Redemption, get 100 hours of single player gameplay out of a game I really, really, really love, and get a robust online mode together. And sure, I can get that for $60. Why in the world would I go out and buy a broken, not particularly engaging game for the same amount of money unless I'm just emotionally invested, or unless it has, we don't all enjoy the same things. If it has a hook that pulls me in, sure, I've played games that are flawed that I really like. But by and large, no, it's not worth it to me. Not in the world where I have better things to play. I'm very hard on Destiny and Destiny 2. I make kind of a joke out of it because it annoys Andrea. But
that's all we live for here, is to annoy Andrea.
But a lot of my frustration with that is just like, no, it's not worth it. It's not to me. And
I feel like Ringy's question here is poignant and makes sense. Is it acceptable to pay AAA prices, have to wait 12 plus months? 100% not. Mm-hmm. You know, Fallout 76 runs in a manner that is not befitting a AAA game and a $60 game. Mm-hmm. Period. Full stop.
Yeah.
The issue you're running into, and I enjoy playing Fallout 76, right? Like, I'm looking forward to playing that tonight. Yeah. It's scratching an itch for me in terms of like, yeah, I want to wander this world, find new locations, do all these different things. It's also mind-boggling that me and Grimecraft can't team up. And it's the same thing that me and Scott did. It sucks that Grimey and I are playing and he just drops out and he sends me a text that's a screenshot of his blue screen of death. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's PlayStation. And it's that interesting, everybody's allowed to enjoy what they enjoy. And, you know, but I do feel for so many of the critiques have been that, and I'm talking about the reviews, right? It's a hard line to watch. I think a US Gamers one where it was like, I find this game enjoyable at times, but this is happening and bringing down my experience, right? Yeah. This is the ebb and flow of this game and blah, blah, blah. I mean, Fallout 76 does not run as a AAA game should.
Yeah.
Period. Full stop.
Just doesn't work.
And I think Ringy says, is it acceptable? It is not. And I think that message is being sent to Bethesda loud and clear.
Yeah.
Like, they are being dragged through the streets and beaten over this game.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in the court of public opinion. And then there are people like myself who are playing it, but I don't think people are playing it and being like, this is game of the year. This is so great. They nailed it. It is very much like, I'm playing it for this one specific reason. You know, and I think for me, I'm in it and it's scratching an itch. Let's see tomorrow night if Red Dead scratches that itch and I just stop playing Fallout because, oh, this is also what I want to do. I do want to build up this amazing work. Because like, that's what I'm enjoying, right? Is like, oh, I got the workbench. Now I'm going to go get this, bring my scrap back, break that down, make this thing, get this outfit. Yeah. If I turn on Red Dead tomorrow and you and me are running, riding through the streets doing that exact same thing, it's going to be like, cool.
Okay,
yeah, I'll play this now. Yeah. Now, granted, this is to Ringy's question, where this is, you know, don't think it escapes me for a second that my Fallout copy was free. It was sent to me for review.
Yeah.
So I have no investment going in there and being like, I'm having fun with it. Sure, why not? And now, I believe, I shouldn't speak out of turn. I don't know about Grimecraft. I've talked to other people who did pay for their copies and are enjoying their games, right? So it's not to say that totally swings the scale one way or the other, but it's not lost on me that for all the people who did buy this game, pre-order this game, get excited for this game, and play this game and are like, what the fuck is this shit?
Just before the show, you handed me a copy of Fallout 76. You want this?
Yeah,
but the truth is, Greg, I mean,
when are you ever going to get to it?
But I've got Red Dead tomorrow. I've got something I'm working on for review. And I've got Assassin's Creed Odyssey to play in my browser right now.
That's running out soon, too. Is it the new year?
I got till January.
Oh, January?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got a while yet.
You better get cracking on that, buddy. That's a great game.
So that's it. So it's just hard to... on the other end, I liked No Man's Sky when it came out. Sure. Unapologetically, I didn't feel like I overpaid for it.
Sure. But stick with me, everyone, on that one. That's a very interesting case. Kevin and I also love No Man's Sky, right?
Yeah.
Kevin and I came in with expectations set a certain way.
Me too.
No Man's Sky, and I'm sure there are many reports, maybe the other, my No Man's Sky experience was not it crashing all the time, my progress being lost, this being lost. It was just like, oh, it's kind of an empty world.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of people argue with Fallout. I could argue with the robots or whatever, like, and hanging out with Grimey and other people, that's a different thing of like how broken and buggy Fallout is at times.
Yeah.
I digress. I want to jump over to Spencer from Canada. Spencer from Canada writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, is Housemark wrong about arcade being dead? Obviously, the answer is yes, it's dead where they currently offer their games, but what if they found a new home? Twin stick, arcade style, bullet hulls aren't the most popular games on the planet in their current form until you look at games like The Binding of Isaac and Enter the Gungeon. Yeah, sorry. Yes, they are roguelikes primarily, but they share many similarities in terms of base game mechanics, in terms of movement, shooting, and avoiding death with the other games that made Housemark so good at what they did. The real question is this. What if Xbox made a deal with Housemark to offer their games for Winter of Arcade or hopefully Summer of Arcade? Or if they offered one of their games on or for free on Game Pass during an event and so on and so forth. Blah, 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 blah. I picked this one because I think it's an interesting question, especially when you start bringing up Binding of Isaac, Enter the Gungeon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Housemark, a bigger studio than both those.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it is, right? When Housemark says arcade is dead, obviously arcade games are going to be alive forever. There's going to be stuff like that happening all the time, those kind of games. And if you're jumping in and you don't know, Housemark, Rezogun,
right.
Super Stardust HD, yeah. Dead Nation, right? They did all these games, then announced after their last few of like, all right, we're done with that. We're going to move on and do a battle royale multiplayer crazy thing.
Well, I think it's a Lazarus effect, man. Like in this game, genres are dead until they're not.
Right.
Adventure games were dead. And then Walking Dead Season 1 was Game of the Year for a jillion people.
Sure.
Or Broken Age came out of nowhere from a Kickstarter thing, came to life. 2D platformers were dead, and then the DS was born.
And I think, that's my thing, is I think the arcade is dead is Housemark saying it's dead to them.
Right.
It's dead for them. Because guess what? The games they're making and selling aren't producing the results they need to run their studio, assume.
Yeah.
And that's the thing where, it'd be awesome if Phil Spencer went to them and was just like, hey guys, we really do love your game. Make another Resogun, make another whatever, make a game like that. We're going to put it here. We're going to give you this boatload of cash to make that happen. Instead, they have to make these financial business decisions to go with it. And then you can have somebody smaller like a Binding of Isaac, Enter the Gungeon, go out and make different kinds of games or some of the other shmups you see, some of the other, the many games you're going to see at the Kind of Funny Game Showcase. There's tons of genres in there that are represented that would not work as a AAA game, but sure work as a couple people development team.
So arcade is maybe dead for now, but it's not dead for good.
Sure, and it's dead for them. It might be dead on a AAA way.
They're not going to be the ones to try to resurrect it.
Sure.
That's what they've said. But no game genre is ever dead.
And there will be another 2019 version of Super Pac-Man Championship Edition DX, right, that blows the doors off and everybody's playing it and everybody loves it.
If in a world where Her Story could gain mainstream media attention, any kind of game can come back. It's a freaking FMV game.
Anything's possible.
And it's really good.
It is a really good game. You should play it if you haven't. That's crazy. All right, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Nick needs help. No, not my Nick. Nick writes in and says, hi, everyone. My name is Nick. I recently got completely sucked into the gear grind of Diablo 3 on Switch. I'm not sure exactly how online multiplayer works in the game, but I would be grateful if there are any KFBFs out there who are willing to show me the way so we can grind for epic gear together. My Switch code is SW02987921231. Thanks, Nick. If you're playing Diablo 3 on Switch, ladies and gentlemen, hit up Nick. Get in there. Play some games.
There we go.
Jared, we ask everybody watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe.
How inaccurate were we today, Greg? I'm really curious.
I left it open today, and I'll tell you, we were doing pretty dang well. We still are, I think. These are mainly superfluous, right? Lord of Pwn says the last Mars landing was on the Curiosity rover August 6th, 2012.
There we go.
That's when I think Mohawk Guy was around.
Okay.
Ron pops in and says Siphon Filter and Splinter Cell are good entries into the super spy genre with the latter brand. And it's like, they're not what you're talking about.
No.
You want to, hey, I'm James Bond. I'm a secret agent. Yeah, not that I'm a special agent. Right. Not that I'm infiltrating and killing necessarily.
Yeah. No, I want to do spy stuff. I want to travel to fabulous locales, but at the same time infiltrate buildings, but at the same time like interrogate people, but also
Big Curtis says Super Mario Galaxy has a port on the Nvidia Shield tablet in China. They map the motion controls to buttons, so it's not, you know, that's one not totally lost in how we were talking about.
It's the porting thing. It's making it marketable.
Exactly. Yeah. And then Cade gets the final one of the day and says, I had a PSVR for a month and a couple days in, and not only did my glasses scratch the lenses of the PlayStation VR, the unit's lenses scratched my glasses. I would recommend a buffer.
Whoa.
So there you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. Four eyes. We got them.
We're
both
wearing glasses.
I know. That's the joke. That's why we're allowed to do it. You know
what
I mean?
Can we do that again? Because we just touched fingers.
You didn't really believe. That was your thing. You were like, it made sense.
Yeah, I know.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Who's running through it this week with me? Funny you should ask. Tomorrow, me and Andrea. Wednesday, me and Gary Witta. Thursday, me and Tim. Friday, me and Andrea. Be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Listen on podcast services around the globe. Remember, we're getting set right now for our Cyber Monday stream on twitch.tv/AmazonGames. Come hang out with us while we play games, show you cool deals, and do stuff. But if you don't want to, it's been our pleasure to serve you.